Walking the Razor's Edge, Charlotte Joko Beck. Each moment as it is complete and full in itself. Seeing this, no matter what arises in each moment, we can let it be. Right now, whether happy, anxious, pleased, or discouraged, each moment is exactly what each moment is. Our practice, our aspiration, is to be this moment. If you are afraid, just be fear, and right there you are fearless. We dislike being with life as it is because that can include suffering. We want to fix the problem, solve it, get rid of it. That is when we need to understand the practice of walking the razor's edge. We have to experience whatever our life is right this second. If we are upset, we have to experience being upset. If we are frightened, we have to experience being frightened. If we're jealous, we have to experience being jealous. This experience is physical. When we are experiencing what we are, not what we think we should be, we are walking the razor's edge. We are the present moment. The effort is to remain aware in all encounters from morning till night. The gateless gate is always right here. Earlier this morning, I was spending my time productively scrolling on Facebook. And I came across this beautiful post, actually, by James Ford. He said, "I feel the evil of our age in my bones and marrow." Fortunately, I found some guidance from Shinran. "Passions obstruct my eyes, and I cannot see him. Nevertheless, great compassion is untiring and illumines me always." I know I just need to follow that illumination, dim as it feels in the moment. So here, a man, a friend who has been sitting for some 60-something years, acknowledging that for him, he feels evil, the evil of our age in his bones, and acknowledging a sense of feeling lost. "Passions obstruct my eyes and I cannot see him." This difficulty. We have when we are possessed by our passions. "Nevertheless, great compassion is untiring and illumines me always." So this teacher, Shinran, for me is quite an inspiration. You may not know much about him, and I won't go too much into it, but he basically was kicked out of the monkhood and talked about how he just could never find enlightenment for a long, long time. And, you know, he called himself foolish, bald-headed monk. And he eventually began practicing with just chanting the way that we all chanted together when we were here in the beginning of the evening. What beautiful chanting that was. Everybody just so fully present. Perhaps all of us calling out in some kind of need, some kind of longing. It was this very same need that inspired his chanting. And his gateway for illumination was the gateway of failure, the gateway of feeling that he could not do it alone, that he could not do the practice, that he needed help. I don't know how many of you may feel a little bit that way this evening, like we need a little bit of help. We need to get a little support from one another. I know that for me, in coming in and joining into our practice together, I felt its power hold me up, invite me in, into the moment and into my own heart. It created a space, a safe space, where I felt like I could really just be here, just as I am. Perhaps not everyone, but I suspect many people here this evening are feeling a kind of heavy grief or anger, disillusionment, confusion, shock, maybe nothing. What an incredible gift it is that we give to each other to be able to come to this space together and just be what we are, feel what we feel. Give it that space for the heart to be witnessed without judgment. Okay to be enraged. Okay to have no feelings at all. Okay to be sitting here in peace and ease, if that's what's here for you. Whatever is here for you is what is here for you. And what we offer each other is this opportunity to bear witness. For many of us who aim to practice compassion and who have vowed, taken our vows to save all beings, to liberate all beings, perhaps we're thinking about the way that things feel or seem to be headed in a different direction, the way that perhaps we aren't taking care of generations in the future as we move in what we might feel is the wrong direction in terms of climate. Perhaps we notice a lack of compassion for refugees, people who are fleeing violence in their home countries and looking for refuge. Perhaps we think about persecution of transgender people in our country. Perhaps it feels very, very painful to see a country moving in a direction that does not align with our values. Hurts. Can be scary. Feel out of control, at a loss. All kinds of international issues that we could be frightened about as well. Well, for now, while you sit here, you don't have to know what to do. You don't have to know how to respond. And just be with whatever's here. We can only take care of our life one moment at a time. That is how we meet our life, one moment, one person, one activity at a time. And of course, we all want to be in charge, be in charge of everything. We obviously are not. All we can do is what we can do with this one body, with this one heart, this one mind. And I do deeply believe that this heart, body, mind is connected to all beings. And so the way that we chant together makes a difference. The way that we sit together makes a difference. I don't know if you can feel the healing power of being in each other's compassionate presence. We start where we can. We are creating a refuge. And we bring that practice of creating a refuge into our life, one moment at a time, one interaction at a time, one person at a time. It may not feel like it's enough. But how can we actually know that? Each person we encounter is an entire universe. Each of our actions matters so, so much. So it's okay not to know what to do. We have this practice of compassion, of entrusting ourselves to the universe, our compassionate hearts, holding it in the same way that it holds us. Taking this practice of meeting ourselves on the cushion compassionately and bringing it forth into the world as best we can. One of the things that I love about that quote that James Ford posted, and I'll read it again for you. Passions obstruct my eyes and I cannot see him. Nevertheless, great compassion is untiring and illumines me always. There is a faith in great compassion, in this presence that we are always a part of, that runs right through us. This boundless presence always holding us, that we are always part of. Even when we are lost in confusion and anger and grief, we are illuminated. In this sense, we might say that When we think of our practice as a failure, I'm caught up in my confusion and my sense of, in my judgments and everything else. I can't find a healing way forward. Even then, the great light of compassion illumines you. We can trust and we can entrust ourselves to that. And this is the healing work. Meeting ourselves just as we are is the healing work. It is this gift that we bring forth into the world. Becoming a refuge as best we can for all beings.